When Jesus was teaching, he used earthly story with heavenly meanings. And so it's a practice of many of those that are sharing to give some illustrations. And when I was asked to give the message, I appreciated Rick's prayer this morning that he prayed that as I shared. And so I see this as sharing. That's what we do. We share what God has taught us through the week in preparation. Jesus is the great teacher. I am just sharing what I've been learning this week with you so that we understand that. Ralph, it's good to see you this morning. On the Bible bus, which is a bus without any seats in it, it's a classroom that we pull up. We are in the book of Ephesians for this year on the Bible bus. So that's why I'm using Ephesians this morning, because that's what I've been studying. So, you know, as I thought about it, I thought, well, where am I going to be? Well, just stay where you've been. Don't try to go somewhere else and prepare. So that's why I chose Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, we see God's work. The verbs that are there as we read are God's working, His doing. We have to go a long ways before we see where we are players, so to speak, later in the letter of Ephesians. So on the Bible bus this week, I asked the children, how many of you have heard the word sin? Oh. Right now, I saw a hand in the back here at church, okay? I like that. I didn't ask you, but a child raised their hand. That's good. But half of them, seriously, half of the children had not heard the word sin before. They had not known that word in the vocabulary, the word sin. Oh. So we had an opportunity to talk about it, sin being disobedience to God, and the unique disobedience pertaining to man's relationship to God. And so as we're teaching, we find out these things, you know, as we share God's Word. And God's Word is very convicting. And I'm thankful here at Monitor Bible Church that it's God's Word that is being shared and taught on Sunday and in the Sunday school classes. So, Bruce had mentioned the key. Well, I got involved this week with changing some key things, you know, which right in my working, the lock broke. And so I thought, well, I can't leave the church unlocked and I better fix that. And so the key that I was given was a duplicate of the original key, the old Wisner lock. Now, this church, Dan, has been standing for a couple years, right? At least 10. 10 times 10, maybe? Okay, 10 times 10 at least, all right? And the lock broke. I had a quick set slug. You know, the slug is the key. That's what I had. My copy was a quick set. It wasn't the Wisner key. Okay, so Wednesday I had it all fixed and I felt so good. And guess what? The key that Pastor Tim has, which was probably one of the original Wisners, would not open the fellowship hall. Oops. I kicked out a Monitor Bible, right? And so, lo and behold, I found out that the Wisner key looks so similar to the Kwikset key, or the Kwikset key looks so similar to the Wisner key. One will unlock the door, but they look the same. And so I thought, oh Lord, that's an illustration for me this week in all my work in the Christian life. The believer has a particular look to them, a particular choice of words, a particular place where believers spend time. But the believer can also kind of look like the world, unfortunately. True? But the believer's key only unlocks the door. The fake key doesn't work. So in our lives, I'm driving by, and one of the reader boards, as I'm thinking about what I'm going to share with you, and one of the reader boards in a church said, the message for the week is, flip manure. Flip manure. And I wanted, seriously, I wanted to stop my car. I wanted to walk in and ask whoever would approach me and say, could you please remove the Christian sign or your association with the Christian church? Because I'm not so sure what's going on in here, you know? So today, we're in Ephesians, a long introduction to what we're in. Please open to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, Paul tells us right away in Ephesians, these are new believers. He's writing to Christians, and there's a purpose. A purpose for the letter is for understanding, that they would grow in their knowledge of who Christ is as new believers. And so you and I come together on Sundays for the same purpose, that we would grow in our understanding. It's the will of God. It's God's will. Again, Paul says who he is. He's an apostle of Christ Jesus. It's by the will of God. And he's writing to the saints who are at the city of Ephesus, in that area of Ephesus, and those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So the apostle Paul knows of these Christians that they are faithful. They are faithful. So we know that about them. And then he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the word grace is another word that's kind of hard to grab hold of. Grace. Now, my granddaughter's name is Grace. I understand that. When I hear the word grace, I visually see her face and her smile, and I know things about her. Oh, but that's not what this grace is about, is it? When I was a young boy, we used to sit at the table, and my mom would say, let's sit down and say grace. She used grace as a term for the evening meal prayer, which is a recitation of the same prayer my whole life, word for word. But let's say grace. Well, that's not the meaning here. My understanding of what grace is it's God's gift, a gift. I took a gift to Hood River this week to my grandson. He just turned 6, and he did nothing to earn the gift. I didn't have to hand out to him what did you do to earn this gift, grandson? When I extended the gift to him, and he was surprised to see me because his parents didn't say I was coming, so that was kind of cool. For me, what do you have, Gramps? What's in your hand? It's a gift for you. Oh, and he gladly accepted it. But there was no card, hourly work card of chores that he had done to earn that present, that birthday present. It was a gift. It was my grace toward him. And so here we see, Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace from God. And then as you read the book of Ephesians, you'll find out more of the meaning of peace that Paul is writing about. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now Paul is blessing God the Father. And he's identifying who Jesus Christ Father is. It's God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So he's telling these Christians, and he's telling you and I, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessings, not earthly physical blessings, but spiritual blessings. None have been withheld from the believer. Now that is good news to me. All spiritual blessings have been bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. And where are these spiritual blessings? Well, they are in the heavenly places, and they are in Christ. These spiritual blessings that we have been given as Christians. They are in Christ. Christ holds these spiritual blessings for us. And where is Jesus as you and I sit here right this moment? Boys, do you know? Where is Jesus right now as we're sitting here? That's a tough question. Oh, they're thinking, oh my, we forgot. John asked questions. Does anyone know? I'll come back to you, okay? Yes, please. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's where He is. He's in the heavenly places. Have you heard that before? Oh yeah, you were just afraid to say something, right? Okay, I understand, right? Woo! I won't come back after you, but hang in there. Where's Abby? Is Abby still here? Where is she? Hi, Abby. Guess what Abby told me today? Here we've been coming, and Barb has been teaching her Sunday school for, oh, at least a couple months. And Abby looked at me and she says, I know you. And I thought, yeah, I'm Barbara's husband. She says, no, I know you. Have you ever taught at Mount Angel St. Mary's grade school? I said, yes. And so Abby said, oh, you have? Well, I really know you. Are you the man that's been in the gymnasium teaching children once in a while? I said, what grade are you in, Abby? Are you back there, Abby? Okay. She says, I'm in third grade. I said, you are in third grade. I will be in your class this coming week. What a coincidence. How God has brought that to happen. What a special thing for me. And so we look at these things and we go, God is in control. And we see that that is what Paul is writing. It's all about God's work. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Where is Jesus? At the right hand. Did you hear that? The right hand of God in heaven. Okay, that's right. Everything. Nothing has been held back for us. Then, verse 4, just as He chose us in Him, Him being Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In the beginning, God created. Before that. And I look at that and I go, are you serious? We have been chosen before the foundation of the world? How can this be? That God would choose me before He even made the world, the creation. That's what I read here. Gordon, do you see similar there in understanding? Okay, amen. I didn't know there was no amen out there. Okay. And then we look on that we. Why did He choose us? What we see part of the plan here, because remember, these believers, they need knowledge. They need understanding. So Paul is giving them knowledge and understanding in his writing. He's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he says, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. So that answered my question. Why did He choose me? That I would be what? Boys, help me. Why did He choose us? You have your Bibles open. Okay, just read a little bit. Boy, I'm going to be picking on that front row here. That we would be holy and blameless before Him. That's why He's chosen us. And what else has He done for us? In love, He's done this. In love, He predestined us in adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. We have been adopted as sons. Now, ladies and girls, the sons is inclusion here, okay? We have been adopted as sons in Christ according to the kind intention of His will. So far, everything we've read, it's about God's work through Jesus. Do you see that? It's all His work. His choosing, His calling us out, His predestination. How many like 1 Samuel, Old Testament book? Isn't that wonderful, the beginning chapters there where the little Samuel is with Eli and God calls him? Samuel. Samuel. And he runs to the priest Eli, and finally, Eli puts it together that God is calling Samuel, calling him. You have been called that we would be blameless, holy, in God's love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. Now I know in this small congregation there is adoption in families here. There's adoption taking place. And you know, in our family, we have two boys, grandsons, that are recently adopted in the last year. And my daughter texted me a little text this last week, and she said it was so nice. Her youngest son, as he was putting on his rubber boots to go play outside, he looked at his mom and said, "Mama, I love you." It's been a year. Now, I'm sure he said that before, but how encouraging. How encouraging is that, that adoption, that we are adopted as sons, and it's through Jesus Christ to Himself. We've been adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, and it's to Himself that we've been adopted. And it's according to the kind intention of His will. It's His will, His desire that you and I have been called, that we've been adopted even before the foundation of the world, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And that is why we praise Him. To the glory of His grace, His gift. Remember that word grace? It's gift, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in Jesus. We've been freely bestowed. Nothing we have done has earned us God's grace. Nothing. Now, Bill, I'm going to pick on you. I'm sorry, but the motorcycle rider, nothing the motorcycle rider can do to earn God's grace. Even though you guys are intimidators on the road, you know that? Bill is thinking, "John, cool it, back off a little here." But you know what? Nothing can be done to earn God's grace, His love. Nothing can be done. And it's according to His grace. And the good news is, let's look in verse 7. Oh my, there's so much here. In Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. Uh-oh, redemption. That's a big word. Redemption. We've been redeemed. We have been brought back. The word peace, forgiveness, pardon. In Jesus, we have redemption, and it's through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. The book of Hebrews speaks about the blood of Christ. The writer of Hebrews goes in great detail explaining the sacrifice of Jesus was the final sacrifice. His blood was precious. A perfect sacrifice. Once for all. New, right? New. New teaching. New dispensation. Because in the Old Testament, once a year the sacrifice was taken into the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could enter. And then at the death of Jesus, the veil was torn. And you and I now have access to the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Jesus. It's a precious sacrifice. The blood of Jesus. Let me go on here. His blood, in verse 7, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. What do you have? Anyone there in verse 8 for the word lavished? What's the translation that you would have for that verb? Pardon me? Abounded upon us instead of lavished. Anyone else have something different in your translation? Now you're so afraid to speak out because you're afraid I'll call back on you. Is that it? Bruce, what do you have in yours? I'm going to just call you out, Bruce. Okay, so you have a lavish as well. Remember, He's given us all things, all spiritual blessings, not withholding anything. That's lavished, isn't it? It's an abundance upon us. Lavish. My grandma, Anna Evanson, she, to the best of her earthly abilities, would lavish things upon us. As a child, I can understand a little bit of that. She would just give things to us. We were her only grandchildren, maybe that's why. And I always thought I was the favorite. But so did everyone else in the family. She was gifted in that. Lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will. He has made known to us the mystery of His will in our lives. According to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in heavens, things upon the earth are in Him. And I think I need to stop here. And you're going to have to just keep reading on your own. And enjoy this letter. I know that Rick went through this for quite some time in detail in the adult Sunday class. But the book of Ephesians is one of my favorite letters that Paul wrote. Again, you look at different passages of Scripture and you go, that's what I want. You know, I'm just going to hang on to that book. I'm going to hang on to that letter. And that's what I have learned this week. Again, as you go on, this letter speaks about what God has done for us, what Jesus has done, His love, our forgiveness of our sins, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how we should walk as believers, what our lives should look like. So enjoy your reading. Father, we gratefully thank You for Your love that has been extended to us through Jesus Christ, Your Son. Thank You for forgiveness of sins. Thank You for Your precious gift bestowed upon us in our faith in Jesus. Father, thank You that we have been given life through His resurrection. And thank You that He is seated at the right hand of You, Father, in heaven. And we have been given spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly places. Father, these things have taken place, and we can trust and be assured that it is truth, the words of the Bible. Thank You, Father, for each person, the children here. Thank You for Abby. Thank You that I will be able to see her this week. Lord, if You're willing for that to happen again. And Father, I thank You for the adults here this morning, and I pray that You would open their hearts to understanding that, again, that they would walk near to You, that Christ would be ever present in their thoughts and in their actions. Father, I thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.